Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alistair, yes. Did you know that on the Patreon right now, Alistair and Andy have both uploaded a copy that Jack Druce recorded of My Client is Innocent from our comedy festival this year? Now, if you would like to see a version of My Client is Innocent from our comedy festival this year, you just join our Patreon at any tier. It doesn't matter. We kind of put it up there. It's like as a thank you for anybody who supports us. So thank you very much for supporting us. And to any people who consider supporting us to do it, thank you too for in the future. Goodbye. And now we go into the episode. Salamander, 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 salamander.
Alistair, I love the way that the start of our episodes now, whenever you have to do a plug,
yeah.
I think what the joke is when you pretend to talk to yourself is you're making, I think what you're doing there is you're making fun of the ones where I would try and plug something by asking you a question or having a conversation.
Yeah,
and I love that, that what you're parodying is the idea of two people talking to each other.
But, I know, but it's. I think it's more parodying the idea of you talking to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
More specifically.
Right. Me talking to you has had it too good for too long, and it's about time somebody took it down from its high horse.
Hello and welcome to Tune the Think Tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy. Now, and yes, I'm and Alistair I'm, George I'm William right. Trombley Birchall.
I'm loving this so far. Yeah. Alistair, just before we started the podcast, we were talking about how you are using a mouse pad that has like a raised gel section to rest your wrist on.
Yes.
Right? And I assume because of how much you've been working over the last 2 months that now the gel has started to leak out. You've ruptured it.
Yes, I have a very heavy wrist when I'm working.
And the solution that you've got to that problem.
I put little bits of paper over the hole and try to contain as much of the gel in there as possible.
Yeah, so you're piling garbage over it.
Yeah, well now I've just found a little plastic bag. I found a little plastic bag. I don't know what it was, but it must have held a microphone or something. Oh, some gel is really
escaping.
That's
not making this sound any less like a pile of garbage.
Look, I've just found some toilet paper.
Andy, it's not garbage. It has a plastic bag in it. This heap.
All the recycling centers are going out of business, and I'm actually one of the few people who's actually recycling things in a way that is a bit more. At least at the moment, it's not causing me to collapse financially.
Well, initially I was disappointed when I discovered that those people who claim to be recycling the soft plastics that we've been collecting and taking to the supermarket, that they are in fact just shoving them into warehouses, just cramming
even
them
bigger,
in.
The ones that we cram them all into bags and then take them there. And they, I guess, eventually cram them into even bigger bags. And then they put them next to, I assume, a much larger fridge.
Well, that's it. I mean, I was initially annoyed, and then I was like, that's what I do. I've got all these things that I've been meaning to take to the recycling. I just keep shoving them into nooks and crannies. Why am I? Who do I think I am? Right? Indeed, they are recycling them as a potent metaphor for everybody's inability to deal with their own responsibilities. I don't think it. There is a greater. I think it's art, as far as I'm concerned, as such, I think it should be celebrated.
I suppose what is really being recycled is the responsibility to recycle these items, right? So I'm going to pass it on to you, and you're going to recycle it, and then you're going to pass it on to someone else, and they're going to recycle it.
And, indeed, yes.
Yes. Now, is there any sketch idea in that? I reckon I could at least say some of that as stand-up.
Yeah, but, I agree.
But is that a sketch idea? Couldn't it be...
Mm. Let's see.
It is almost a bit like the producers-y, where the idea is you start a recycling company and all you got to do is rent a large area and then you get the money for taking the garbage, but the recycling part is actually quite expensive. So you actually just take it until your area is filled.
Yes.
And then your company collapses.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems to me like actually quite a viable model. Essentially, what you've done is you've just made a sort of inner city garbage dump.
Yeah, it's not landfill. It's building fill.
Yeah, it's on top of the land. So we're not actually filling the land. The land is already filled with more land.
With land, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's land cover.
I like to think that they really are ramming it in there as well. Mm. Like me shoving more plastic bags under the sink, that they have, I guess, they have a big tractor with, I'm imagining, an enormous foot on the front of it that they use to keep driving in and out of the roller doors, cramming it in more and more.
That's right.
Now that's a nice visual for the sketch that we're going to make about this LSD.
Yes, an industrial sized foot. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. A tractor with a big foot on the front.
Yes. A boot, sort of a boot. You would imagine maybe a person who climbs a beanstalk would, climbs down a beanstalk.
Mm-hmm.
Did they ever talk about how the giant got up into the clouds, or is that where they're born? In Jack and the Beanstalk.
It's a great question, because you would think, I mean, that we've established that the giant's very heavy. You know, you'd think if any creature were to evolve on a cloud, it wouldn't be an enormous giant. It would be, you know, a tiny, like a sort of wisp-like character who maybe floats on an updraft, has very broad sort of wing flaps, or maybe produces a silken sort of net from its butthole. To catch the wind.
Like a spider who can somehow hover on the magnetic waves or something like that. Like that are the Earth's magnetic field or something like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, you yes. Know? All of that.
Maybe on the surface tension between two layers of atmosphere.
It's a really good idea. I mean, we know that clouds actually create their own electrical charge separation. That's what's happening in a storm cloud. I think maybe if the giant was made out of small torn up pieces of paper or balloons or cat's hair, then it's very reasonable to think that it would be able to hover in a cloud. This is quite a boring conversation. Alistair, I just wanted to say earlier when I was talking about the gel pad mouse pad. Sure. I was thinking then that, like, maybe as a form of if the gel's leaking out anyway, maybe as a form of body augmentation, you could take that gel and inject it into your wrist.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And now you've got a you know, one of those wrist pads, a relaxing wrist pad everywhere you go.
That's true.
For whatever it is that you're doing. You know, whatever activity, you've got something that you can rest your wrist on. Oh. Maybe you're stroking a small animal.
When you say rest your wrist, are you putting a W in front of the rest?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, yeah, and and at the end as well.
Ah, yes. Rest your wrist.
Well, it's another silent W.
Oh, yes. Well, I don't consider the first one silent. I actually pronounce it rest, ref, wrist.
Rest.
Right. I'm a writer.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I think that's very good.
You know? Body augmentation doesn't just have to be sort of for cool, edgy people. Why aren't we using it to make office workers more productive?
Yeah, or more ergonomic.
Now, we know, you know, a lot of people are unplugging from the office. They're working. They can work anywhere, except they don't have a little resting wrist pad, do they?
That's right. No.
So,
it's one of the few things maybe, stopping.
Maybe you can have all those parts of the what you would other the luxuries of the office. You could have them inserted into your body. Maybe you could have one of those ergonomic kneeling chairs permanently attached to the front of your legs. Maybe you could have a coffee machine under one of your armpits.
You could have half a pen attached to your index and half a pen attached to your thumb.
Yes, and when you bring them together with their powers combined,
you get
they
a full
become
pen.
A full pen.
Yes, but of course, when you split it in half, all that ink leaks out.
Well, yeah, well, that'll encourage you to keep working then, won't it?
Yes, and very much so.
Not slack off. Mm. And then when your boss comes around to check on you, comes around to your house,
you won't
he'll
need
look at
to.
You and say, you're covered in ink.
You won't need to have your boss come around because you'll have one surgically implanted standing over your shoulder.
Very good. I mean, could we do that? Could we have a tiny boss? Have we already had this idea?
Yeah.
I think we might have already had this idea of a tiny boss who's on your desk and who tries to boss you around and that sort of thing. But when we originally had that idea, it was so that you could push him around and ignore him.
Yeah, well, right, I don't know if he was a boss. He was just a bossy guy.
Oh, okay.
But I think the idea of having little bosses, you know, finding a way of splitting the current management into 10 different little micromanagers.
Yeah.
And then sending them to the home offices.
I agree.
I think that's a fun idea.
It is a fun idea, but I also do like your suggestion of, like, you know, maybe you just have one boss's eyeball and a little boss's mouth sort of grafted onto the sort of the top side of your head, looking down at what you're doing, and then it can shout at you if you're not working hard enough. You know,
just
here
a boss's mouth.
Yeah, a little boss's mouth. There.
Oh, you know what would happen?
What would happen?
I don't know. Something. You'd end up, you know, things would happen in the night.
You know what? You're right.
Things would probably happen. You know, but I mean, there'd be incidents.
I don't know what would happen. That's why I asked you. That's why I said, you know what would happen?
Because I wanted to know.
Yes. That's how a conversation works.
Well, I think, imagine that, just like you're sleeping and it's just breathing in your ear. You'd have to you'd end up putting a sock in it.
Yes. I hope nothing inappropriately sexual would take place.
Well,
that would be inappropriate for the boss.
Imagine how many ribs you'd have to have removed.
Use their tiny mouth for anything.
If it's too small, you could only put a pube in there anyway. But that's not okay. It's not okay.
Oh, nobody's doing that, are they? Nobody's saying, suck my pubes. Nobody's doing that.
Andy, don't say that. That's not, because I mean, if you just put that in as a keyword, suck my pubes into a website right now, I bet you something will come up.
Nobody's tying their pubes together. Plat our pubes together. That's
plat
a beautiful
pubes.
That's a beautiful romantic gesture to have on plat your wedding day.
Plat my pubes so that it looks like a Viking's beard.
In front of God and both our families, we are going to plait our pubes together so that we are forever entwined.
You see, it's when you misunderstood when somebody said platitudes, and then you said plait our pubes. And is it now time to
exchange platitudes?
Suppose so. And then you unzip.
Of course, a platitude is a sort of a very mild word of kindness that means almost nothing, and in fact serves to underline the distance that lies between two people. I think that's a beautiful thing to include in the wedding ceremony.
Well, you know,
You're looking well. You know, that kind of thing.
But isn't that what most speeches are after a wedding these days as well, where it's just like, all right, now's all the things that we've heard people say 1,000 times.
Correct.
Let's just go and hear somebody say them from a slightly different point of view, but still somehow keep it embarrassing.
Embarrassing platitudes.
Platitudes. I just realized. Add ergonomic designs.
Ah, to the human body. And the human body. I think. You know.
Sure. Body and body.
A wheelie chair.
Can I give a little shout out to Ross? Ross from the United Kingdom, who came to my live show last night at Comedy Republic in Melbourne here, because Ross is from the United Kingdom, and he is backpacking through Australia right now for 3 months. I think he only has a month left. I don't think he's going to do any fruit picking. But he is also friends with another person who has appeared, his name has appeared on the show, Kieran McFadgen, who sometimes sends in three words from a listener. And I just thought I would say thanks for coming and seeing a live show, and for, you know, he wanted a photo and all that kind of stuff. But hey, it's nice. It's nice to see people.
Extremely nice. It's nice not only to feature on our podcast a shout out to a listener, but also a shout out to another listener, and a shout out to the relationship between those two listeners.
Well, I love to put in a few shout outs.
We're building the world building on this.
That's right. From the long universe.
It's like fucking Game of Thrones over here.
It's like trying to remember all the characters.
Yes.
Now, Andy.
Yes. Quickly though, Al. Tell me, how did the gig go last night? Was it good?
It went pretty good. Yeah. I was trying a little bit of stuff. I was trying to add an extra line to this bit about how I decided not to kill myself. To never kill myself. And I was trying to do an extra bit about how I was like...
This is a bit about you being here for a long time, not a good time.
I'm here for a long time, not a good time. And so then I was trying to say, I think if ever it came to like me wanting to stay and, you know, me wanting to make one of those decisions where it's like, oh, things are so bad, I would consider that kind of doing a bad thing to myself. I think I would rather go out and just run away and live in the woods. And then what I thought would be funny would then to have the realization that that actually if I was to spend a lot of time in the woods, I would also die there. And then I tried to play again on the long time, good time thing. But that, I'm in here for a long time, not for a freeze in a ravine time. But anyway, the audience let me know through the absence of laughter that it wasn't actually funny. So, Andy, while you're chuckling right now, Andy, I want you to know that you're incorrect.
I'm chuckling. I do think it's funny, but I also think that this tightrope that you're trying to walk of what more morbid and depressing bits can I add to my bit about killing myself?
Not killing myself. I'm not going to ever do it.
It's a bit about not killing myself. It's actually very hopeful and upbeat. It's actually a really positive suicide. No, I'm talking about not suicide. Surely that's what we should be doing.
I know. It's hard to not make it seem like people should worry about me. But I actually genuinely I have no interest at all in it. Well, why are you talking about it so much? Because I think it's an important thing to talk about.
Yeah. I'll be hanging around for a while, and not in the sense of dangling by my neck.
Because I think a lot of people say, well, you should talk to your friends about stuff like that. And you go, well, you should also talk about your friends about not stuff as well. So the stuff, I think, is often means like, you know, killing yourself. And so not stuff. Anyway, this is going really well.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's good, isn't it? It is nice to... I mean, you got to get pretty close to somebody, though, before you can talk to them about that kind of stuff. That's the whole thing. You've got to have a friend.
No, I'm doing it in front of a group of strangers.
You're right. And maybe that's also how you fast track towards becoming a friend. You know, you go straight to the big stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not afraid.
It's a new type of, you could be a guy who pioneers a new type of radical small talk.
It sounds like big talk. Revolutionizes. It's so radically small. It's actually almost big.
Yes.
Well, because you would have to look at it in a microscope, and then it actually gets big again. It appears big, which to me means that it is big.
Because, you know, when we say things like, oh, nice day, the weather's good, that sort of thing, that is just like commenting on the external world.
Yeah.
But we could introduce, we could bring in commentary on the internal world.
Sure, because it's dark and stormy in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful weather we're having in your head today. Ah, yes. Thank you for noticing. Yes, I had a beautiful chocolate croissant earlier, which really lifted my sunny disposition. There we go.
Smiley with a chance of tears later in the day.
Wow. That's how happy, like you're suggesting? Is that what you're saying?
No, or, you know, I guess maybe it could turn at any moment.
Maybe if you see a car ad or something like that.
A car ad. Yes, you think that'll turn you around?
Well, I think it could make you sad, or, you know, it could make you cry sometimes because they're so emotional.
Maybe
one of the actors in the ad is somebody who you thought was dead, and then you realize they had just told you that and then left your life. You know, maybe something like that.
I think a sketch about faking your own death is a very is rich and fertile. Whether or not it perhaps is a company that advertises their services in helping you to fake your own death. Or it's just somebody's attempts to fake their own death.
Do you think that would be, you could advertise this, you're a company that advertises it, faking your own death as a way of becoming a big star?
Now, how does that help you to become a big star?
Well, firstly, by faking your own death, you say goodbye to your current life. And probably have to become a new person.
I suppose it is a kind of a declaring bankruptcy. You know, it's a becoming insolvent.
With relationships.
But with relationships. I'm going to legally phoenix my personality, identity.
And then you also kind of have to, like, not go back to the old places you used to go.
Yeah, I mean, if a company can do it, it feels appalling that a person, you're not allowed to become a new person.
I don't know if there's any laws. I don't know if there's any laws stopping you from becoming a new person. I think you can technically leave everybody in your life and go and change your name.
Yes, but there, you know.
But you can't say that you're officially dead.
Yeah, exactly, and you can't declare that those relationships are no longer meaningful in a legal sense. And if somebody comes and tries to track you down and ask you, you know, about your past and why everything went wrong and that sort of thing, you're not able to say, well, legally, that's not me that you're talking to anymore, so I don't have to answer any of these questions.
Oh, that's true, yeah. I mean, what you could do is, if you could really play a long game, if you really wanted to do this properly, you could go and find a way of basically saying that you've had a baby off the grid and registering it. You know, registering it through births and marriages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then in about 16 years or 18 years maybe, then you would then destroy yourself. you know, will kill your original personality, fake your death, and then you would assume the identity of this other person who is apparently 18. You'll be much older. But
I think this is a really good idea, and I think maybe we should start a company that does that part of it, where we just start the identities of people, not and it's not identity theft. It's actually identity agriculture. We grow these identities over a period of time until they are mature, and then you're able to come along and purchase them, and they have absolutely everything that you would want to come with that. You know, maybe we've had actors in costume interacting with people, you know, with quite easily replicated disguises. And, you know, interacting with people, developing relationships and that sort of thing. They could, they could, over the course of a day, they could probably maintain 4 or 5 identities and sets of interactions if they're a good enough actor. And then, you know, when they're 25, 30, 40, those identities are rich and full and ready to be sold, plucked and sold.
And, of course, it had just occurred to me, I was like, oh, they, you know, they'll want to see the baby at some point. Right. And then you can just bring another baby.
Yeah.
You know, because you'll probably have to have, like, you know, like maternal health nurse kind of meetings and things like that, which like you realize that they do for medical reasons, but they probably also do so that the government's like, is this a real baby?
Yeah, we got to see the baby.
Yeah, somebody's got to see the baby.
That's why they've got to weigh the baby to make sure it's not a hologram.
Exactly. Yeah.
This baby has a physical form, right? It's not just a trick, but
that's right.
Trick of the light. It's and that's not an optical illusion.
At 3 years old, they do have that one where it's like they ask them to hop, and they ask them to, like, look at some images and tell, you know, is this a group of ducks or whatever like that. And that's got to be so that it's not like an AI. That's essentially like a little computer test.
Yeah, prove that you're not a robot.
It's essentially a human capture type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, is this anything? Identity agriculture?
Yeah, agriculture. But, I mean, you know who would love this? The underworld.
Ah.
Because to be able to, like, you know, and probably you could also sell stuff to, like, you know, like intelligence services. I mean, I know that they've got the in on with the government, and they can probably just make fake identities anyway. Just throw it into the system.
But, yeah, you know, but still. These will be more realistic and more filled out.
Yeah, it's like you need that, like, provenance, you know, like you do for, like, a...
For a dog. For
like, like a painting or something like that.
Yes.
For a dog. Yes. Are you thinking... No, I think you're thinking of Florence. That's where you find dogs.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. Florence. Those Florence dogs. You've heard of the black market. Ooh. Well, this is the bloke market. This is where you can go and buy a bloke. An identity of a bloke. It doesn't really work. Forget about it. Well, I just wanted to say bloke market.
No, that was good. Maybe you could spell bloke with a B-L-O-C-K-E.
Yeah?
The like bloke. Block. No. There's an E at the end. It's going to be a hard. Okay. It's going to be a hard CK.
CKE. Yeah, nice.
Well, it still have to be a hard O, I suppose. That's the part. The block A. But then you could also get a woman, you know.
You know how soap used to be a block and now it's a liquid.
Well, not always, but yeah.
You know, it pretty much always now, though, it's a liquid. It used to be a solid, but now it's a liquid.
I get a bar. I still use a bar.
I went back to bars recently. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Body wash is such a scam, so I've never really bought into it.
You're absolutely right. See, it's an enormous scam.
You know, because it came out when people were using loofahs, but most people have given up on the loofah. And that's the loofah is the only place where it makes sense, because the body wash needs to be lathered. Whereas if you're using it like soap, it doesn't make sense. There's just vast quantities that are just run off.
Be washed down the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right, Alistair. But I was wondering, have we considered, you know, if we can, if I'm assuming that all liquids work equally well in a solid form like that, like other stuff, what else could we get as a little bar that you can just sort of lather up and wipe onto things? I'm thinking maybe mayonnaise, maybe a cake of mayonnaise that you can just lather up the mayonnaise between your hands under the tap like that, and then wipe that onto the slice of bread.
Yeah. Or what about butter? You know, you get melted butter. What about that? You could get that in like a bar form, and you could.
It's a really good idea.
Maybe just scrape it off with like a knife.
I like that a lot.
And then put it onto like toast and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Well, what about like, you know, like liquid cement? You could sort of get that maybe in like a sort of like a hard cement.
Hard, very hard. Form. Yeah. That'd be good.
What's another example?
I don't know
works?
If you're making fun of me or not.
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, okay, let's find it. Like, okay, what's another liquid? So we got juice. We got gravy.
Gravy, yeah, nice. Solid gravy. A gravy bar like that. And if you want to put gravy all over your chicken or something that you're making, I suppose, you could get the bar wet and then lather up the chicken.
I mean,
all over. Maybe a loofah.
Yeah, I would love a gravy loofah. That's where I was heading. You know, everybody has, it's like a fork, a knife, a spoon.
Oh, really good. A gravy loofah.
A dining loofah. You know, and any sauces, you know, because a loofah would be a perfect way to dress a salad. You lather up the dressing, you lather up the yes. gravy, you pop it on each piece of meat, you know, you're picking up the meat, or, you know, in your case, I suppose it would be like a tofu, you know, a nice vegetarian gravy there, just being, getting all bubbly and soapy and things like that, and kind of, you know, getting it all in there, you're getting it all over your hand. It's good though.
Yeah, great. And then this idea, gravy soap on a rope.
And you have it in the shower.
Yes. That's right. You're completely correct. You know, I'm amazed there hasn't been a Vegemite soap. In Australia, we're currently running a campaign to make a Vegemite version of everything.
That's true. They've done a Vegemite Tim Tam at some point, right? Trump tried it.
Yes.
So they've done a Vegemite.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A scroll, I suppose.
They've done Vegemite scrolls. They've done Vegemite cheese spread. I saw a Vegemite chicken recently, like roast chicken, Vegemite roast chicken in a supermarket. But I think it's time for Vegemite to move beyond the food.
Yeah.
The food group, VB.
The beer VB managed to get its own cologne, a VB smell of, you know, old pub or whatever.
Well, there you go.
And so, I mean, a Vegemite cologne, what would you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's great. What about a Vegemite car? It's a car, but it's infused with Vegemite.
Yeah.
I mean, that is basically my car at the moment. Yeah. On account of all the sandwiches that have been trodden into the back seat.
Oh, man. The life of a parent and, like, just the amount of, like, filth that you can, like, you can put up with. Mm. Mm. Do you remember, like, did you ever have, like, one of those bins for your kids' nappies where it was, like, it has a built-in, it has a bag and, like, a kind of its own bag system. But then it's, like, it's supposed to, like, seal off. You know, air from getting in and out of these. You know, when you put a dirty nappy in there, did you ever have one of those?
Yeah, we did, yeah. I don't really remember what it was like because I think we ran out of the bag so quickly.
Yeah, that's the problem. Anything that you got to replenish, well, you're done for, right?
But then get a special
eventually
bag
you
for
just
this.
You just get used to having like really dirty nappies on the ground. You go, oh, fuck, I better take this outside at some point because you find it like a day later and you go, Jesus, not usually shitty nappies, but like...
yeah, you know, but sometimes...
Occasionally, you go, oh, yeah. Fuck. It's just like in some hectic situations. You know, like sometimes like you're dealing with like shitty nappies and you're like, honey, this is a two-person job. That is like, you know, just like crisis. I'm just like yelling, like, don't put any of your limbs in it. Don't put any of your limbs in it. Keep everything in the air. Don't grab at it. Stop it.
Stop. Yeah, well, like there are edges that are
overspill. Like,
yes, or you know, or just right at that tipping point and you feel like you're looking at a dam with a crack in it.
Yeah.
Teetering over a small mountain village.
You know what they should do? They should have built in, you know, and maybe this is something Huggies could do. Is sort of like hydro power, but for nappies. Because, you know, like...
Yeah.
Because there's all these years of babies with just pushing things out with such an enormous force.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see the look on their faces. You know that there's some actual energy conversions taking place.
Yeah, there's definitely some kilojoules being spent.
Mm.
Like that, and that to catch that, all that energy, to turn a little turbine in there, that as it is climbing up their back and down their thighs and things like that, and filling up their shorts.
This is energy that is going to waste. I mean, and this would be great. You know what this would be great for? Because there's already that anxiety when you're talking to somebody and they reveal that they use reusable nappies. Right, and you don't, and you feel that guilt of like, oh, that's right, I've said I'm going to. In fact, I have your reusable nappy somewhere in the house, but I've never managed to maintain that thing. You can come back at them with, well, actually, we use a hydroelectric nappy that generates electricity for the grid. Yeah.
What's the solid version of hydro?
I don't know if they've... They've come up with one of those.
No, because like, you know, there's because hydro, what is the exact meaning of hydro?
I think that probably means water or something. Yeah. I mean, hydroelectric means water from, electricity from water, I would say. So
yeah, relating to water. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're very rarely talking about a particularly solid anyway. Yeah, so yeah. I think, you
that's
know.
That's true. I mean, you know, but is any solid a particularly solid, you know? You're thinking, well, if I apply force to it, then it changes shape. Right? But is that not every solid?
I mean, I was thinking that a lot of the time it's just flowing around the place, as you've described, which makes it liquid. I mean,
dihydro generation. Oh, that was good. This has been some good time. It feels like we're pushing something out right now.
Yeah. I'm sorry, everybody. I mean, it's bad enough to do an extended sloppy kid shit riff. But when the riff itself is not flowing well, and so it's also painful in that regard.
Yeah, no, it's a big hard nugget of a riff.
Of a concept to get moving. But I think your little diaper generation thing.
Yeah.
That's something.
Yeah, sure. Nappy hydro.
Even if it's just a concept that we invent, purely so that you can feel you have the moral high ground at
absolutely at over the reusable nappy people.
Yes, at first year, you know, birthday parties.
Yeah,
first birthday parties.
I mean, I feel, you know, I feel like at some point we're going to discover that actually nappies, disposable nappies will become an important part of some ecosystem, right? Because eventually some kind of natural selection will take place in sort of garbage dumps and things like that, where they're going to realize that, you know, like that there's going to be some creatures that will be adapted to eating these.
Yeah, there will be a rich and varied system like that gathers around hydrothermal vents.
Mm, exactly.
There'll be wonderful creatures there that live in the darkness.
That's
not
right.
Not needing any energy from the sun.
That's right. And they'll eat these things and they will be unique in their own ways. And then one day the nappies will run out and then we will be sad. And then we will be sad at losing another unique creature.
Exactly.
Right. So there's, you know, nothing.
Our own negligence.
Through our own negligence that we started with the whole world that adapted to reusable nappies. And oh, somehow the reusable nappies people, they will just diminish. They will diminish the value of the life of these creatures. They shouldn't have existed. But that's just ideology. You see,
I was thinking recently that, like, are we too negative about landfill? Right? Like, I think there's a big, like, oh, it's just going into landfill. There's a big negative thing about that. But I think, in my mind, landfill is literally the only successful form of carbon sequestration that we've ever undertaken. Mm. Right? Whenever we are burying something in, like, you know, all these plastics and stuff that we're burying in the ground, as long as it's not going into the ocean and destroying the ocean, I think if we're triaging all the ways in which we're fucking up the world, landfill is actually, it's almost a good thing. Everything that ends up in landfill is out. It got out. It got out of the system.
It's not killing a dolphin or something like that.
Yeah, but also, like,
I mean, some stuff might be
leaching
into the ground.
Obviously. But, like, again, in the scheme of things, I mean, we're putting stuff directly into the water in other parts of existence.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think I'm pro landfill.
So you think this is an ad? This is an ad for the. I think we can feel happy about landfill campaign.
Yeah, and I think even plastics in themselves, I realize, exist in the environment for ages, you know, destroying the marine ecosystems, microplastics get into our bodies, all that sort of stuff. But if we were a bit more pro-landfill, and we're like, hey, if we bury this, if we can get this into the ground, then we don't have to. That's actually quite good. That is carbon that is being taken out of the carbon cycle.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing. Have a campaign. It's like, bury it. Bury your problems.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not like, I mean, if it would be, it would work, especially if we were somehow making our plastics from carbon in the atmosphere rather than stuff.
Yes,
like
that would be really good. That would be really good. But that, you know, I mean, also every plastic bag that you use, those hydrocarbons, I'm not sure, but maybe they would have ended up being burned in petrol or something. Maybe the more plastic you use, the less fossil fuels are available to create carbon dioxide.
I think we need a plastic fork census every year, right? Every single use plastic product should just be part of a census, and we know how many there are, and then we keep track of where they go, right?
Yes.
Each one goes. Everybody's got to keep a logbook.
Yeah, okay.
And so anything that is, you know, that is purchased, it just goes on your record, right? And then they keep track. And then if any of it doesn't end up in landfill, there's a punishment. You know, you get a sort of a
really good.
It's like a social credit thing, but it's all single use plastic based.
Yeah.
You know, and then
they
track
come
you
around to your house and they like turn over, you know, they go through all your drawers and stuff. Mm.
And they check like how many times you've been close to the ocean. And they go, you didn't get rid of it here, did you? Because this is what we're going to assume. And it's because it's a new legal system called thrown into the ocean until proven innocent.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, that's
They'll
right.
They'll assume that's what you've done with it. I mean, yeah, the idea of somebody going out maybe onto a very long pier with pockets full of plastic cutlery and looking around, making sure nobody's watching, and then chucking them all into the ocean. It's really good. I like to imagine that that's how it is happening.
To have them up your pant leg.
Yeah.
And then kicking
shake them out like you're in the Great Escape.
Yeah, like the Great Escape, getting rid of some tunnel dirt.
There at the estuary,
yeah.
Walk out at low tide.
Hope that
shake
it just
out all your plastic.
Maybe like even just like into the mud, you know, like where there'd be like, you know, you pretend like you're crabbing. Oh, I'm just mud crabbing, and then meanwhile you're kind of shaking your legs in the mud, and you're just hoping that they slide out.
I also think we should be more relaxed about people dumping garbage in the open in like the middle of cities and stuff, just opening the back of their car and chucking a whole lot of old crap out onto the footpath in front of everyone and then driving away. And because by stigmatizing that kind of behavior, all we've done is we've made it so that those people drive out to like a riverbank or something, a gully or a ravine. They push it down a really steep hill where really hard to get it back out again, and B, likely to go into a river and down into the ocean. It should be fine. Whenever you see somebody dumping it in the middle of the city, that you should applaud them and say thank you.
Yeah, there should just be garbage men who are like police. Right. And what they do instead, like, I don't mean that they have powers to arrest you or anything like that. They're just patrolling the streets for garbage, and they go, oh, look at that bit of garbage there. Like that. And then they just go and like, they go, you're coming with me. Like that. They actually still act like cops.
Like that. Oh, and they find some,
you know, they and they go and they go, what are you doing here? They kick you a little bit on the ground. Like, well, you know, so you're not you a person.
You're Andy, the garbage.
You're a bit of garbage. Not in the way that you are already, Andy. I just mean like actual garbage.
Sure. Now I'm talking metaphorically.
I think that this is a great idea, Andy. Removing the dumping stigma. And, you know, I think like, you know, allowing people to just dump garbage in the middle of the city. And, you know, and then that way, like if you saw it, let's say you're in the middle of like Bourke Street Mall or something like that in Melbourne. And there's actually not even cars aren't even allowed down that street, right? But you could maybe get there through like the top of like through Russell, and you go to that down to that bit before it becomes just a tram area, and then you go down there and you dump all this stuff onto the tram tracks, and then you drive off and everybody starts applauding you, people around who are walking around and shopping and things like that.
It's really nice. And then a tram comes along with a special scoop on the front.
That's right. Well, it doesn't have to. I think
it just has to stop,
and then just like, you know, you see the town's, you know, quick response garbage people getting straight into, and then they stopped like, you know, 5 bags of garbage from going into a river, and poisoning all, you know, our micro algae.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean,
if we, you know, I think it's very hard to achieve behavior change in people, but we can do it maybe it's hard to do positive behavior change, but maybe we can harness people's negative behaviors.
Just removing the stigma of dumping garbage, you know? It's like I used to feel bad when I would finish eating a like some KFC, and I just dumped the bones on the ground. But that's because we had that crazy bin system.
I mean, I think there might still be bins. I don't think I'm necessarily anti-bin.
The next step, I guess if you were so pro-bins, then why wouldn't your idea be put some bins around for everybody to just put stuff into? Big bins. You know?
I think eventually every piece of plastic, we'll make it sentient, right? We'll give it some kind of life.
Why not
and
make,
we'll make it crawl?
Why not we'll, make the whole we'll ground
engineer
out of bin.
It to crawl somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's good too. That's good
Thanks,
too.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a
little
flatworm. Little,
yeah. That's good. Maybe everything will be a slime mold that you can give instructions to.
That'd
you can say
great.
You say harden into a packet of, you know, to hold jubes in. Little sour worms or whatever like that, right? And then it hardens, and then you put a little signal into it, and then you go, okay, now turn to ooze. Like, you know, when it's on the ground, it responds to the ground. It goes, it somehow knows, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we put a little chemical into the concrete that just that lets it know, all right, now oozeify, and now and then follow this, you know. And then we put a little smell signal into bins. And then they all just kind of crawl towards bins where there's a smell signal emanating from it.
Maybe it senses when it's night. Maybe it's we make a nocturnal plastic that sleeps during the day when you can use it to wrap up people's food. But then when night falls, it awakes and crawls away.
Yeah,
to
but
the
that's
tip.
But even the food that's already been is still holding onto food. I mean, even the packaging that's still holding
food in there. Yeah.
No, but I mean, like, let's say the packaging. Yeah. It's like it's a bag of chips, or it's like it's got some ham in it, or something like that. If at nighttime, every time it turns to night, it turns back to ooze. That's going to contaminate the ham.
I think this is going to be a great Cinderella type story.
Yeah.
Where at night, Cinderella turns back into slime mold. Cinderella is also she's a chip wrapper in this story. But other than that, it's the exact same story.
Okay, Andy, I think we have enough, I guess I will call them ideas. And I think it's time for three words from a listener. Now, Andy, this one, this listener, I believe it would be their first time submitting words. It's from Santeri Rikkonen.
Santeri Rikkonen. Rikkonen? Could be Rikkonen.
Rikkonen, like, but it's a double I. Oh. I would say they are potentially Icelandic or something like that, maybe?
Wow.
Or, you know, a country that's from, you know, north of Europe. Like, you know, northern parts of Europe is my guess.
Yeah. Where vowels are able to survive.
Eh?
In much greater
that's
numbers.
Right. Yeah. I would, I would say it could be one of those things. Maybe even like we're getting close to the Arctic where, you know, they are well preserved, these vowels, and they won't get eaten. Anyway, Santeri, you know, I apologize, has sent in three words, but, said that he's got a proper job and he was now able to participate in the patronage of our wonderful podcast, and also just sent a random idea that's not connected, mostly because we've been fairly horny in recent episodes, and so that we should potentially invite the number one horny dad of Aussie comedy, Josh Earle, to join us to make to in the Think Tank peak horny dad podcast of Australian comedy.
That's really exciting. And let's do it. Let's get together a horny dad super group.
Yeah. I want you to know that the three words today that you're going to have to guess, they do have a theme. And then, so whilst you're going to also guess the three words, at the end, you're going to have to guess the theme.
Okay. Right? The first word is unified.
Absolutely not. Okay. No. But there is at least one similar letter. The first word is Luxembourg.
Luxembourg. Okay, second word, Luxembourg. Second word, Belgium.
So I think it feels like that was close, Andy. The second word is Brussels.
Oh, my God. All right, Luxembourg, Brussels. The last word is Amsterdam.
Bum, bum. I'm sorry, but the third word is Belgrade.
Okay. Luxembourg, Brussels, and Belgrade. Okay, well, I guess Belgrade is Where is that? Is that in the former Yugoslavia? Belgrade?
Belgrade. Luxembourg. Indeed. So God, I was thinking. I feel so embarrassed for you that you don't know this.
Because there's like, you know, the Benelux countries, obviously, yeah. Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg. And that's what I was, the first Luxembourg invited me to think of. Are they all places that have a, like, an international criminal court or something like that? Is that the theme? Locations of...
I'm not sure, entirely sure about that, Andy, so okay. I can't... But what I can say is, Santeri says that this is actually very easy, as these are the first three capital cities to be occupied in World War One in chronological order.
Sure.
So you can see how embarrassing it is that you didn't get it.
Is Luxembourg, though, that's a country. Would that be considered a city as well? Country. Is it both?
Well, you know, the capital is Luxembourg City.
Yeah, right.
And so, which I guess you could shorten down to Luxembourg.
Take me down to Luxembourg City, where the...
The cats are...
Yes, dogs.
And the dogs are frilly.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so we're going to have to come up with a sketch. And somebody has just appeared. Did you need to say something, Otis?
No, but I'm looking for the charger.
Ah, yes. The charger. Well, okay, hang on. No, you won't be able to just bring it into my room and then put that and plug that in and then you can... Yeah. Would you be also close the door, please, Odie? Thank you so much. He said they didn't say yes. So, but they still did it, even though they didn't agree with my, you know, all my ideology of closing the door. It was a real clash.
Let's see. I mean, okay. What do we got? Well, you know, so did you say the First World War or the Second World War?
Well, it says here First World War because, you know, Belgrade is in Serbia.
In Serbia. Yeah, right. And is that where the Archduke of Austro-Hungary was killed? Was in Serbia? Is that what occurred to kick off World War One?
I believe, yeah. I mean, I could look up what city Franz Ferdinand was killed.
Maybe we could start and I'm not saying this is a good idea, Alistair.
Yeah.
But we could start a consultancy or possibly a think tank where what we do is basically we come up with war ideas. We come up with ideas for wars that people could have.
Yeah.
And we look at all the countries in the world.
Yeah.
And we look at ways in which we could match them up with other countries.
Yeah, find
justify.
Ways that, yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I was going to say just find ways that they could anger each other or, you know, like real opportunities for pulling Swifties on each other.
Exactly. It's like a dating app. But for war, for countries who want to go to war. So we use maybe sophisticated algorithms to find which countries are the most incompatible and therefore able to, you know. Because I think this, you know, I think this would be great for political campaigns.
The
for,
idea of something
know.
That, like, you don't want invented is, like, an app that calculates using AI and sort of, you know, the latest information around which countries it would be most beneficial for each country to invade and attack. And
well,
then,
I mean, what's the alternative? Countries invade countries where it's not beneficial?
It's not
for
beneficial
them to,
where right? nobody I wins?
Mean, that feels like that would be a... much worse. So,
I mean, it's all about the greatest, you know, the greatest benefit for the greatest amount of people. And so, if we stay the same, that's not a benefit.
Exactly.
Right. That's the same.
Yeah.
You got to do something.
Benefit means getting more.
Yeah. and also, Franz Ferdinand was shot in Sarajevo.
Sarajevo, God, that's a good place name.
Yeah, and from the one
Sarajevo.
Photo I can, some from the one photo I can see, it looks nice. Oh, there's drawings of it. I think he was wearing a really silly hat. at the time.
Maybe they didn't look into that enough. That maybe that was a bigger factor.
I mean, yeah, because you know, it's often a thing that they'll say, you know, when if a woman gets attacked, well, what was she wearing or whatever, all that kind of stuff. And then they go, well, what was he wearing? You know, what was he wearing? You know, my goodness.
Sounds like he was inciting violence.
of First World, at least one world war.
It's just begging for it. That's funny. That's funny, Alistair. his father, as he got on the coach to go to Sarajevo, said, "Are you really going there? You're going to go there looking like that, are you?
Looking like that? Well, you're going to start a First World War.
You know what's going to happen. Don't come crying to me."
It's not anybody's fault but your own if a world war breaks out.
What Archduke shaming.
Why is it, Andy, does it always feels like we kick into gear in the very last sketch or the very last
well,
like
I think
five
what
minutes.
It is probably because the ideas from a listener are always better than anything that we have. And we have got to the point where now, like, whatever reserves of little things that were kicking around in our brains that we could go to in moments of nothingness, there's nothing left there anymore. They've all been scoured. And so now we just need something to be put into the machine.
They're still our ideas, but it's amazing. It's just like really all they're sending us is a finger that's pointing in a direction.
Yeah, a nudge. Send us a finger. Alistair, I think that's all right. I think we did okay. I don't really want to hear the sketch ideas again, but it is tradition that you read them out to me. So
yeah.
Would you like to take us through them?
Yes, I would. We've got recycling company that collapses as a business model, right? I mean, that's a small idea. Then we got tiny bosses, which is another small idea for people who work at home, or, you know, surgery to add ergonomic designs to the human body for, you know, people who work at home again. And so that you, or anywhere, you can work from anywhere so that the office, you carry the office with
you. That's it. Yes.
We got start new identities so that in 18 years you can fake your own death and start anew. But this is identity agriculture, a company that offers identity agriculture so that people don't need to steal them anymore. You know, that's how we would fix it, right? How we would fix
the problem of identity
Of identity pirating.
Yes.
You create an abundance of it so that they don't really have that much value. And
if people
also
have access to legally sourced identities, they won't need to steal them anymore.
Well, especially clean ones like that, it'd actually be more problematic to just use ones that where the people can just track you down and you know, get you in trouble. Ethically sourced identities. Then we got a gravy loofah. You see?
When you hear the ideas just like this all quickly, it's not too bad. It's when you have to sit through the whole podcast and listen to the beat come up with it. That's when it really hurts.
Yeah, sure. And then we've got the nappy turbine for nappy hydro, you know, to get extra, you know, so you can get one over those people who have reusable nappies and you don't have to feel bad. These are also disposable turbines. I think that we can feel happy about landfill campaign.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of another campaign. It's a pro dumping garbage in the city campaign. And then we've got a programmable slime mold packaging. And then we've got an app that tells countries the most beneficial countries that they can invade.
Yes.
To them, and you know, what's most beneficial to them. And then the Archduke shaming, blaming the war on what he was wearing, in particular his hat.
There you go.
That's the whole episode. My goodness, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to In the Think Tank. We like that you did that to it and us.
Don't
and
forget,
you can find us on Twitter. Are we plugging Twitter still?
Yeah, we still do Twitter.
Yeah, great. I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
I'm at Alistair TB. Yeah, I mean, this is it's like going on Twitter now is just people going, "It's burning! This place is on fire! It's about to shut down! Everybody, it's like abort! Find other like direct your audiences to other places."
Yeah.
So, but you know, you can also join our Patreon and you can watch My Client is Innocent, you know, a version of
That's correct.
That we, after we relearned it, that went better than we, probably almost any other ones that we did during Comedy Festival. I mean, I still messed up a bunch, but you know, whatever. if you watch it, you can see and imagine just how much I fucked up some of the Comedy Festival shows. On one night, I tried to do a spin.
That was probably the best thing that night. That probably was the funniest thing that happened.
And then I just laughed because I was like, I thought I could add a spin. And then, it was like, then afterwards, people were like tweeting me, go, keep the spin in.
Yeah.
And I think that what they wanted was me failing at doing the spin.
Well, that's art in itself. Hey, yeah. Everybody, we
love you. Take care.
Thank you.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.